Great job teaching as well, and we just really learned so much from that time together. And I'm glad that we got to bring a piece of that here to share with the church. Amen. I do want to share some news with you. It's good news, but it's also bittersweet. One of our campus interns has been called by God to go serve the church in Baton Rouge. Amen. And so Shailene Metal has graduated from college, and she will be transitioning to be in the full-time ministry as an intern, a campus intern at LSU, amen? So, and it's a really big deal, because I remember interning and just really having that what-if faith. You know, what if I go and train, and what if I don't end up in the ministry? Because God calls us to greater things. Amen?
Amen.
And I felt that calling, and I appreciate the fact that Shailene's felt the calling from God. Amen. And she served here in Houston for about a year and a half in our summer, in our internship program in the summer, but also during the semester, evangelizing, sharing her faith. And so now she gets to be sent out. And so it's a big deal for the Houston church. Amen?
Amen.
And so we'll make an official announcement at our next congregational service, but we're so proud of you, and we're happy that you can go out there and really spread your influence on how God's going to work through you there. Amen?
Amen.
So they're really blessed to have you. Also, just want to put a shameless plug in there this summer. We are having a summer internship program, okay? And it's open to singles and campus. All you need to do is write me a one-page paragraph of why you want to be an intern, submit it, and we'll go through it, and we'll select the interns for this summer. And it's going to be from mid-July to mid-August. Amen? So great time of training if you want to grow spiritually this summer. Also, I do want to introduce, there are a few Aggies amongst us. Okay, so just so you know, every summer we have students that come back home for the summer because their families live in Houston. Yeah. And I want to introduce to you Tyler, Brandon, and Joe. Okay, you guys here? Why don't you guys stand up? So I wanted to introduce them to the church because, you know, that way we can wrap our arms around them, really love them, and pull them in. Amen?
Yeah.
So they're going to be here for the summer. Really, really exciting. And some of them want to intern, too. So we're excited about that. Also, I do want to say, you know, we do have a special announcement. At the end of service, we're going to have a baptism. Amen? So, and, you know, this student at U of H studied the Bible, but, you know, her life, she moved around a lot. And so she had a deep faith in God, but didn't have deep roots. And so she went from church to church. And so she's trying to grow from being shallow to getting deeper. And there's some mistrust and challenges on the way. But it's amazing to see how her faith has developed and how she's growing in her trust in God. And today she's moved by how much God is loving her through the body of Christ. And so later after service, Jenny Myung is going to get baptized into the our body. So really excited for her. Really, really exciting. You know, for me, I've been, you know, I went out to MIT and I got lunch with Jeff Smith, one of my buddies in Dallas, and he said, hey, bro, how you doing emotionally? And I said, wow, bro, you ever been on a roller coaster before? Because for the past few weeks, I went to be in a wedding. I was a best man, did the best man speech for one of my best friends in LA. And then I flew back, and all of a sudden, I turned back around. And as many of you know, Enrique Vargas lost his father. So I flew back there, and I'm super grateful for the Houston Church for allowing me to go and minister, sending me to minister to his family and being there next to him. And so it really was kind of a roller coaster for me back and forth. And so the inception of today's lesson, the whole concept and idea, kind of came from just time of reflection with God. And I hope that it ministers to you in the same way that it's ministered to me. Amen?
Amen.
So we're going to talk about faith is the victory. Let's bow our heads and let's pray.
Amen.
Father, we come before you grateful for the beginnings that we experience in life. Whether it's having a new home or family or going somewhere to intern or just coming into a new ministry for the summer, whatever it might be, Father, we pray that you help us not just to start well, but to finish strong. And we pray that you help us to remember that, Father, it's how we live, but it's also how we finish the race. And we're so grateful, Father, for the blessings that we have each and every morning when we rise And when we go to bed, we know, Father, each day is a blessing on its own. And we pray that, Father, this morning you would help us to connect with you and to truly be ministered to by your Holy Spirit. Thank you so much for the body of Christ and the many blessings, the benefits, all the promises that we get to experience with our church family here. Help us to be grateful, Father, for the lives that we live. And help us to really connect with you this morning. We love you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So faith is the victory. And, you know, King Solomon said this. Oh, my clicker's not working. How are we doing over there, guys? King Solomon did say this. Hang on a second. You guys plug it in? Okay. All right. There we go. Thank you. You can advance it for me. Thank you, Lowell. Appreciate your help. So, King Solomon said, in all his wisdom, the end of the matter is better than the beginning. And patience is better than pride. And I want us to focus on the first part of this wisdom literature here, the scripture. The end of the matter is better than the beginning. Because it's not always how you start, it's how you finish. Amen? And finishing is what being faithful is all about. Faith is the victory. How we end. People remember how you lived. Amen? And how you ended your life. You know, let me ask you a few questions here. What if Abraham had said no to sacrificing his son? What if Noah had stopped building the ark? Or what if Joshua stopped at day six, walking around the walls of Jericho? Yeah. What if David walked away from Goliath? What if Esther had not entered the king's service? What if the Virgin Mary had an abortion? What if Jesus' last words when he died on the cross was not, "It is finished"? You know, we lift up these people of faith. Not just because they had faith, but they saw their faith to completion.
Right.
They followed through and they finished strong. People are remembered for how they finish. Whether it's in their lives, their relationships, their marriage, their parenting, their ministry, their personal ministry. Are you seeking to save the lost? People remember how you finish. How will you finish the race? And this is a concept that's not new to us because Jesus said it as well. And this is the Message translation. It reads, "Is there anyone here who planning to build a new house doesn't first sit down and figure the cost so you'll know if you can complete it? If you only get the foundation laid and then run out of money, you're going to look pretty foolish. Everyone passing by will poke fun at you. He started something he couldn't finish." And again, the concept and idea that I'm talking about here is our faith begins a project, but we have to see it through to completion. It begins a project. It lays the foundation. But are we continuing to build and add to our faith? Are we constantly keeping ourselves desperate for God and hungry to grow? You know, starting something new is like falling in love. You know, at first, there's this exciting emotional state that you go through. You're emotionally aroused, and then you feel naturally motivated by the newness of it. And then you can even get obsessive over whatever you're doing. And it can easily blind us from the potential obstacles and challenges that may soon face us. Then after time goes by, it turns into harder work and more commitment and more responsibility. And then we can pull back. We won't give our hearts as much anymore. That scripture in Jeremiah 29, "Seek him with all your heart and he'll be found by you." Become seeking him with some of it. Because we're discouraged or we pull back. Has this ever happened to you?
No.
Let's look at a story in the Bible here to help illustrate this point a little bit further. Amen?
Amen.
Matthew 14, 22. Let's go there. Okay, the clicker's working now. Good stuff, good stuff. Good job, Lowell. Okay, verse 22. "Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone. And the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves, because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, beginning to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. The deity of Christ is proven in this passage. And Peter's perspective went from, tell me if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water, to being full of fear and sinking. You know, this is a powerful experience that Peter demonstrates how to walk by faith and not by sight. But you know, if we're honest with ourselves, we read the story, and most of us would applaud Peter for taking a step out of the boat, for getting out. Because to be honest, if you look at the scripture, he's the only one out of the 12 disciples who had the courage and faith to step out of the boat, right?
Yeah.
The only one that could claim and boast and say, I walked on water with Jesus. But then why did Jesus rebuke him and correct him for his faith? Why is it that in that moment, Jesus goes, you of little faith, why did you doubt? See, this was a golden opportunity for Jesus to teach Peter a valuable lesson. Peter's faith goal was to make it to Jesus, but he didn't make it. His goal was to tell me, if it's you, tell me to come to you. But he fell short. He allowed the storm and doubt and fear to overtake him. Jesus was the finish line, yet his fear became bigger than his faith. His confidence was stripped from him, and his faith was tested by the waves of doubt. Have you ever been there before?
Yeah.
Has your faith been tested?
Yeah.
There are times where you get distracted from gazing and being captivated by Christ. And I love this because Jesus was the finish line. But Satan throws waves of doubt at Jesus. But I want you to look how focused Jesus was when Satan tried to do that. Let's look at this passage here. He says, at that time, at that very hour, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said, get away from me. Or excuse me, get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you. And he said to them, go and tell that fox, behold, I cast out demons and perform miracles and cures today and tomorrow, and the Lord, and on the third day I finish my course. Verse 33. Nevertheless, I must go on my way today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish away from Jerusalem. See, Satan throws waves of doubt towards Jesus, and what does he do? He says, go tell that fox, I'm on a mission. I will not be distracted. I'm focused on God's calling for my life. And I appreciate what Gracie shared when she was up here talking about MIT and her feeling called to want to be in the ministry, but then the voices of doubt come up.
Yeah.
Let me tell you guys something. We're in a spiritual battle and there's spiritual warfare.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get time with somebody and you're connecting with them, and then you walk away and you hear this voice say, I don't think that person likes me.
Mm-hmm.
And then we start to believe these lies because Satan's the father of lies. Because he'll send waves of doubt our way. The question is, are we allowing it to distract us from Jesus? You know, the first wave might be, you've never done this before, it can't be done by you, so why keep trying?
Yeah.
Why do you keep trying? The second wave may be, you tried in the past and failed, so why try again? Don't set yourself up for another emotional letdown. Why do it? Why give your heart? You've tried love, you've tried leadership, you tried serving, and now, you know what, pull back your heart, don't give anymore, isolate yourself. That's exactly where Satan wants us, right?
Yeah. Yeah, talk about it.
Another one could be you have more urgent needs to consider, like your job, home, school, your future spouse, your bills, your more bills, and more bills. It never ends. It's funny, when I go get our mail, I'm like, we got our mail, honey. Bills, bills. But sometimes it can choke our faith, right?
Right.
Let's be real. The next wave can be, you deserve a break today. You deserve a break tomorrow. In fact, you got to relax. I mean, God is the Lord of the Sabbath, right? But then at the end of the day, it's like, man, I haven't even done anything. I haven't finished what I committed to. And lastly, the last wave could be, you need to really think about the negative remarks that you heard about your commitment from other Christians, about your purity, about your zeal, about your attendance. You need to be more practical and realistic. And then you start to worry about what other people think of you, rather than what God thinks of you. I wonder if Peter was like, I wonder what the others are thinking, instead of, Jesus, I need to keep walking. See, these waves of doubt can attack us, and they can knock us down. They can strip away our faith and our confidence. But see, our standard of devotion must be countercultural. It must be more than that. It's not enough just to get out of the boat. The victory is in making it to Jesus. The victory is in making it to the very end. It's fighting to finish the race, to finish building the tower. Do you have faith to finish strong?
Right.
Whether you're a young Christian, older Christian, you've been around for years. Is your commitment to make it to the end? I know we're in the month of June here. It's mid-year. And some of the commitments we made at the beginning of the year, maybe it's a commitment to give our special offering and vowing to God. Maybe it's a commitment to investing in a relationship. Sometimes we have responsibilities, and then we ask for more commitment and more responsibilities to help take care of people and help mentor people and disciple people. But then we realize the work and effort it takes. And then we can pull back our hearts. Sometimes we can be so excited because we invited our family member or a friend to church and we start to study the Bible with them. But then we start running into obstacles and trials. And then they say, you know what, I don't know if this is for me. And then we give up hope and we get discouraged and we pull back. This rejection and fear causes us to give our hearts again. God wants us to finish strong. Amen?
Amen.
And I think sometimes we look at Peter and we can applaud him and say, he stepped out of the boat. Oh man, he walked on water. And I think we can do that with our faith too. Where we just accept this mediocre faith. Well, at least I showed up to church. Well, at least I sat in a Bible study. At least I shared my faith this month. And we lose sight of what really matters. It's Jesus. At least I gave some of my tithe. You know, Jesus reacted to Peter's failure in attempting to walk to him with, you of little faith. Why did you doubt? Because Peter lost sight of his faith goal, and that was to make it to Jesus. What is Jesus calling you to do? What is Jesus calling you to finish this morning? Maybe it's a relationship that's unreconciled. You know, I'm really grateful because I got a chance to go back to LA and be there for the funeral, but I had some time. So I dialed up my previous region leader in LA. And I can say that our transition was kind of rough because my wife was 8 months pregnant and we transitioned to Houston because God was calling us here. And I remember just our relationship was kind of awkward as I exited. But you know, in life, sometimes there's these necessary endings to things. And something in my heart said, you know what, just call him up. And then I hear this voice saying, he's too busy for you. He's probably leading and discipling churches in Europe, and he doesn't have time. And I dialed him up, and I said, hey, can we get some time together? And he said, absolutely. Where are you at? I'll come pick you up.
Yeah.
And I said, I can Uber to you. I'll go to your house. He said, no, I'll come. And we sat down and had one of the most just inspirational, uplifting conversations. Because when I left, it was quick, and I felt like I felt like for years I was looking for something, and I wanted his blessing of like, hey, go. And that talk did that for me. But I had to go back. I had to initiate that because I felt this chattering in the back of my mind to make things right. Is there a relationship in your life that you need to make right? Is there something that you need to finish because you started something and you need to go back? To complete your faith goal, you got to make sure that you finish through on the vows that you made to God. To help your family member, your friend, your neighbor. So many people start studying the Bible, but then they run into these challenges. And I really believe sometimes they run into these challenges because God is also testing our faith. Because if we're not urgent to help them, they're not going to be urgent to run into the light. And I think it's so important that we have that urgency in our hearts. Amen? When we take our eyes off of Jesus, we focus on ourselves, our limitations, our shortcomings, and we don't realize that God's trying to use us in that moment to inspire those who are watching, to inspire the faithful Christians. But then we take our eyes off of Jesus and we focus on ourselves. We get our eyes on our purpose instead of God's purpose. Consider these faithful people who were forced to take their eyes off of themselves. Jeremiah felt like he was too young. Sarah thought she was too old. When the Lord appeared to Isaiah, he said, "Woe to me, for I'm undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips." And Peter, in one of his first interactions with Jesus, he says, "Away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." Yeah. All these people had reasons why they wouldn't follow Jesus. But the key to being used by God is taking your eyes off of yourself. Because it's not about you. Amen? And there are three questions that I always tell myself, or three statements every time I get up to preach, and it helps me to shake off the nerves. I have nothing to hide, I have nothing to fear, and I have nothing to prove. Because it's about God. Amen? I love this quote. "Finish last will always be better than did not finish, which always trumps did not start." Let me ask you, what will be said about you? Without faith and conviction to finish strong, we find ourselves beginning the same projects, starting the same plans, making the same promises, and setting the same goals again and again, but not finishing. It's about how you finish the race. Paul talks about not being disqualified. And I love that concept that, hey, we can actually be disqualified from the race if we're not really reading and obeying God's word. Amen? And after a while, Christianity may seem become lukewarm and unreal because there's little progress, because we start things and we're not really finishing them. So I talk to you younger Christians. Are you willing to finish the race? Peter started with a few great steps, but he had to see it through to the end. Older Christians, it's about finishing strong. Has your faith waned? Are you feeling like, you know, it's kind of mundane and you're just kind of showing up and your Bible studies are kind of stale? God's calling you to finish strong. Amen? Amen. It's only June. It's about to be June, right? Are we going to finish this year strong? Are we still rising as one? Amen?
Come on, brother.
You know, many of us have great beginnings. We kick off the semester strong with Rush Week. We share our faith. We're inviting friends to Bible talk. We're inviting friends to our family group. We're inviting friends to our Friday devotionals. We're sharing our faith every day. In fact, we even commit to saying, "I'm going to read the Bible in a year." Amen. Or I commit to being a part of the service teams, whether it's the Hauling Crew, Kids Kingdom. And then somewhere along the line, we start to lose heart. We start to get discouraged and we pull back because we're lacking faith. We begin to accept more responsibilities, realizing that, man, this is probably too much, and we pull back. But our faith has to be tested to be proven genuine, guys. Because the testing of our faith is what makes us complete and mature, as James says. He says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." See, the testing of your faith. See, the opposite is also true about this passage. If your faith isn't being tested on a daily, then you will be incomplete and immature and lacking a lot. Because we're too afraid to step out of the boat. And some of us step out, but we don't finish. Peter is willing to test his faith by stepping out and walking on water. So in his mind, I'm sure Peter's like, even if I sink and drown, I'm going to attempt it because Jesus said, "Come." So let me ask you this question. Do you have even if faith?
Wow.
Do you have even if faith? Abraham said, "Even if my son dies and I sacrifice him, I will obey God." Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, "Even if God doesn't save us, We will bow down to the one and only true God and worship Him alone. Esther said, even if I go into the king's presence and I'm not summoned, I'm going to save my people from extinction. Even if the king kills me, I'm going to do it. Man, that faith is being tested. Even if I face trials in my marriage, in my parenting, in my personal relationships, man, my kids, my spouse, they're worth fighting for. I'm going to give my heart. Imagine how mature and complete your faith would be if your faith truly was tested and you didn't focus on trying to avoid trials and avoid suffering, but embracing it. You can't just stay comfortable your whole Christian walk because then you become lukewarm. You've got to have a faith that steps out of the boat and takes these challenges. Sure, there's fear. But where's your faith? Where's that faith that said Jesus is Lord? It's in there, amen? You know, I remember putting off pharmacy school, moving out to LA to intern to see if the full-time ministry was for me. And I remember being a student at U of H, and I remember saying, you know what? I'm going to pack up my Honda Accord and grab my backpack. And I had $200 to my name for gas. I drove 24 hours from Houston to LA just for the summer. And I thought, even if God doesn't call me into the full-time ministry, I'm going to give this internship everything I have. And let me tell you something, it was the best summer I ever had. I didn't feel like I chose the ministry, I felt like the ministry chose me. But I never would have known if I didn't do that. Even if. I remember in 2005, a couple of the evangelists, Kevin Maines and Marco Pellizzeri, said, hey, can you stay here and serve as an intern in Long Beach? And I said, you know what? Amen. God must be calling me. And then eventually God called me back. Amen. And I'm so grateful to be here in Houston. Amen. I'm so grateful for our staff. I'm so grateful for my wife and my life here. But if I didn't make that decision, I wouldn't even be up here speaking. Amen? Amen. You know, I remember praying for God's will for my life, for my future wife. And I said, even if I ask her out and she doesn't become my wife, I'm still going to do what's right and take her on a date and encourage her. Even if she doesn't become my wife, I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to encourage her. And one thing led to another, and now she's my beautiful wife. I'm grateful. Amen? Sometimes you got to have that even if faith, even though you're fearful, because I went through a couple heartbreaks and I wanted to pull back my heart. I wanted to not give anymore. But the reality is I really needed to have faith and step out. How about you? Do you have even if faith? Is your faith mature and battle tested? When's the last time that you said, even if I fail, even if I get hurt, even if I look bad in front of people, even if I don't make it, I'm willing to trust God and step out of the boat. That's the only way your faith will be proven genuine and complete, not lacking anything, is if you're tested. Is your faith battle tested? It needs to be if you're going to finish the race, amen? Because faith is the victory. Now think about Peter, okay? Peter denied Jesus 3 times. He was full of doubt. But at the end of his life, I appreciate what Jesus said. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. You know, I read this and I look at the different snapshots of Peter's life. And if you've never done a character study, do a character study on Peter. It's powerful. Because I'm thinking he learned a valuable lesson when he fell in the water. That it took faith to finish strong and to glorify God through his death. Because he learned the lesson that day. That it's all about faith. Faith is the victory. And as we know through teaching and scripture and historical writing, Peter was crucified. It's traditionally held that he was crucified upside down at his own request, since he saw himself unworthy to be crucified in the same way that Jesus was, Peter had that finish line faith. He sprinted. He made it. He poured himself out. And he died faithful. Amen? Yeah. You know, as many of you know, one of my best friends, Enrique Vargas, lost his father unexpectedly. His dad had severe heart problems, and he had different surgeries. And this surgery, they thought, would be just like any other. But it turned out to be fatal. And, you know, I'm grateful that I got to fly there and be there for him. And I watched him stand, and it took a long time for him to gather himself and actually speak. But he got up, and the funeral was in a cemetery in Hollywood. And it's actually the same cemetery where Michael Jackson was buried, and a lot of celebrities were there, buried there. But the funeral, they had about 400 people there. And I was so proud of Enrique because he stood up and he shared 7 things that a son needs from his dad. And he said, "My father did not fall short of any one of these things." And I'm standing next to him and I'm listening to this and I'm like, that's how I want to go out. That's how I want to finish. I want to leave a legacy behind. I want people to glorify God through my life. I want to give my death away, not just my life away. And that's exactly what Jesus did for us. Amen? Because you can't just be content with becoming a disciple. You got to faithfully die a disciple. And let me tell you something. He was a faithful disciple of Christ. Enrique told me when he was a little kid, 5 a.m. in the morning, he'd get up as a little kid and he'd walk in his daddy's office and his dad had his Bible open reading it. And throughout life, his character grew because of what he saw in his dad. And it made me think about my kids. It made me think about my dad. It made me want to spend more time with my dad. It made me want to spend more time with my kids. But I started to realize, how am I going to finish? How are you going to finish this race? Are you still running? Are you still fighting for your faith? This is God's desire for us all. God wants us to experience great things in our life. But true victory comes through faith that focuses on Jesus and a faith that finishes strong. Amen. And it's encouraging because Enrique had a chance to, you know, look into where his father was going to be buried. And him and I looked at each other and we knew that that's not where he's at. He's up there. Amen? Right. And he's celebrating with the angels. But what a powerful, powerful time. So, how you doing, Tommy, emotionally? Roller coaster. But man, I feel so much closer to God. And I'm grateful because it's called me to make sure that I finish strong. In closing, I want to give you an illustration about Jesus. You know, all of us will be old one day. All of us will cross this bridge. All of us will experience pain and suffering. But in Jesus' life, you know, the passion can also be, translated passio, which is the passivity. See, the passivity of Jesus, this would in fact help clarify an important distinction. Jesus gave his life for us through his activity, and he gave his death for us through his passivity. And that is clear in the Gospels. Up until his arrest, the Gospels describe Jesus as active, as doing things, in charge, preaching, teaching, performing miracles, and consoling people. Then after his arrest, all the verbs become passive. He was led away, mishandled by authorities, whipped. He needed help carrying his cross, and ultimately, he was nailed to the cross. How does Jesus, someone so powerful that can control the elements of nature, become so surrendered to giving his life up in such a passive way? You know, one day when we cross that bridge, we're gonna have the opportunity also to give our lives away. To give our death away. Because we're going to bless people with the gift of being able to help us and take care of us and help us pass on. And I love the fact that Jesus gave us this gift. In our passivity, we can give to others a gift that we cannot give in our activity. Our passivity and dying can potentially be the last and greatest gift that we give to others. And I love the fact that Jesus went out like that because he gave us not only his life and the Gospels and what he did, but through his death. But even after his death, we get to experience the powerful resurrection. Amen? Amen? And as we think of our lives, I want us to think about finishing strong. I want you to know that being faithful is making it to the end. Amen? And it's about finishing strong. So as King Solomon said, as we close out, it's not the beginning of a matter that's important, it's the end. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, so much for this opportunity that we could worship you. We know that, Father, our lives are in your hands, and we entrust you with everything we have. And we pray this morning that you can help us to remember how important it is for us to continue, God, to fight for our faith, to not lose heart, to not pull back or shrink back and backslide, but to know, Father, that our faith is what, Father, we need to invest in. And we pray that you help each and every one of us to remember Christ, his life and how he lived it, healing and preaching and consoling those who are around him. God, I pray that you help us to do the same. But I also pray, Father, you help us to understand his death, burial, and resurrection. That, Father, as we take the bread and the cup, help us to remember that, Father, you call us to finish strong, that faith is the victory, that being faithful to the end is what people will remember and what will impact others. We love you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please raise your hand if you need a communion cup.